the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Here's your host.
Hi, everyone. I am Paul Horn, lead financial planner for Financial Sense Wealth Management, and I'm filling in for Jim as he enjoys a much-deserved week off. On today's show, we are going to discuss a challenge every business owner faces. How do I transition out of business and have it remain successful?
And I'm Chris Prytower. The backbone of our economy has always been the small business owner. Small businesses have created wealth for many Americans. But being a business owner is a difficult challenge that takes a special type of person to be successful.
Despite man's best efforts, we have not found the holy grail and cannot live forever, but a business potentially can. Like picking a stock, a key question for any good investment is, what is the exit strategy? A proper exit strategy provides continuity for the business and helps build and protect the company value.
Now, Paul, why would you say having a succession plan is so important?
Well, unfortunately, life happens and often things don't work out quite as we had planned. Too often I've seen a business owner pass prematurely without an adequate plan in place to help allow the business to continue to be successful.
It seems obvious that there's real value in having a proper succession plan. In fact, it reminds me of life insurance. No one likes to think about it. No one likes to talk about dying. But if something happens and that's not in place, there's real devastation. So I imagine this is a similar topic where maybe people don't want to talk about it, but if something's not done, there could be real devastation. Would you say that's correct, Paul?
I'd agree with you, Chris. Not many people want to create a succession plan, but they certainly do want to protect their business and family.
Now, Paul, is there a client that you can recall where they did not have a proper estate plan in place?
Yeah, unfortunately, too many different examples come to mind, Chris. One that does stand out, however, is a family I work with that had a successful industrial company where the patriarch, the father, passed away unexpectedly. The goal was to have some of the key employees who had been working for him for decades to buy out the company. But unfortunately, there just wasn't enough assets that they had to buy the business. So what the family ended up having to do was sell the business at a large discount since the father had passed. And as a result, they didn't get nearly as much that they should have gotten.
Well, stories like that really are devastating. It sounds like succession planning involves really a myriad of issues.
Yeah, it really does, Chris. A proper succession plan requires working with many different professionals and involves many different topics like estate planning, tax considerations, family concerns, business concerns, as well as financial planning.
Now, having an exit plan helps protect not just you and your family, but also the employees and their families that are relying on the business. Paul, what does a proper exit plan entail?
There are several key factors that we really need to consider when developing a proper succession plan. The first one is really identifying the successor. So who's going to be the individual or individuals taking over the company? Really determining the timing of the transition and the logistics around that. Third item that we really need to consider is to know the type of sale that's going to be used and make sure that the business has proper structure. So is it an S-Corp, a C-Corp, an LLC, making sure that is set up correctly. And the last thing is we want to make sure there's liquidity planning. So at the time of sale, you're not caught like my previous example where there wasn't enough money to pay for it. There's adequate money for funding.
Now, that first step seems easy enough. You're just trying to identify who will be taking over the company. Will it be family, co-owners, employees, or outsiders?
Yeah, it really is the easiest and probably the most important step. Once you've decided who is taking over the business, then the rest of the planning is about making the transition as smooth and easy as possible.
Now, Paul, let's spend a little more time discussing if the family is taking over the business. I know our guest tomorrow, Mitzi Perdue, will be discussing her personal experience with this on the podcast and how her family overcame this source of conflict. By the way, I just want to encourage our listeners, make sure you listen to tomorrow's podcast. It's really going to be something.
Mitzi was in a unique situation. The family business was very successful, and there were certainly some estate tax issues. But if the sale of the business is to the family, it is important to work with a planner to really help utilize some techniques that can help maybe freeze the estate and lower the estate tax issues, as well as help deal with any potential family dynamics. The second factor that we really need to consider is to determine the logistics of the transition and figure out the timing of when the business will be sold. Will the business be sold at or after retirement? If the business is being sold while you're still living, it's important to develop a timeline to make that transition as smooth as possible. Ideally, if that's something that can be done gradual over time, that really does help reduce the disruption to the business. Another key consideration is what happens in the event of a premature death or disability.
Well, that's a lot to ponder, but once they are ready, it is important to put the plan in place before any sort of triggering event for the succession plan.
You bring up a very important point that the succession plan must be in place before it is needed. That can't be stressed enough. It does serve as a safety net. So when life happens, you and your family and the business are all protected.
Well, and really, it reminds me of what we mentioned a moment ago about life insurance. You can't get life insurance after you die. So it really is something that needs to be taken care of before the fact. But Paul, how does one go about selling a business? I would imagine it's not as neat or easy as it seems.
Yeah, the actual sale of the business can be a challenging process. A proper succession plan will help alleviate some of the challenges and can also help to potentially preserve the value of the business when it's being sold. There are many tools to help transfer the business, but the best method to use goes back to our first question, who is the individual buying the business? So if you're selling to a family, for example, there's a plethora of options that can be beneficial and help reduce tax implications. Just a couple of examples of these may include an installment sale, a private annuity, or using a family limited partnership.
Well, it would make sense that there would be options specific to family members. The option chosen would vary based on who's buying to try to maximize value for the sale of the business. What documents need to be drafted for a succession plan?
The documentation really needed is determined by the business structure and who the buyer is. The most common document used is a buy-sell agreement, and for most entities, this is acceptable. And if you have an LLC, this language could be found in the operating agreement. The buy-sell sets the terms of the sale and helps identifying triggering events like death, disability, or retirement. The buy-sell also helps you when there's multiple owners involved to help avoid any sort of stalemate.
And I understand that the buy-sell can even set valuation for the company as well. Is that right?
You're actually correct, Chris. Valuation is very important consideration because that's what you and your family is going to receive. There are many different valuation methods that can be used, but I've seen businesses sold for way more or way less than their actual market value due to flawed valuations. The most common valuation method I've seen seems to be some sort of multiple of EBITDA, but these can easily distort value as not all businesses have the same profit margins or fixed assets. Using a rule of thumb or a multiple can actually lead to pretty inaccurate valuations.
So if using some multiple or similar method is not ideal, what valuation method should be used?
To remedy this, most companies will set a valuation by a third party and use that number in a buy-sell agreement. This works great as long as you update the buy-sell every couple years. Imagine a doctor's practice that has two owners. Where the business is still pretty young and has a relatively low cash flow. Now, fast forward 8 years, business is doing well, there's multiple locations, the cash flow is 10 times the original value. At this point, imagine if one of those owners passed away and they never updated the valuation, the owner that's surviving would be getting a substantial bargain as he's buying out his partner, and the family of the owner would get nothing close to the true valuation. Therefore, it's really important to make sure that those valuations are updated periodically to reflect correct business value.
Well, that's some great information, but if the owner has a proper succession plan in place and the business sale is triggered, how does he ensure that he or she or his family gets paid?
This ties back into the last important factor for consideration, and that's planning for liquidity. An example I witnessed was a buy-sell that was put in place with a dental practice that had two owners. One of the owners passed prematurely, which triggered the buy-sell agreement. The remaining owner was to buy out the surviving spouse. Unfortunately, he decided to take his time and never quite gone around to paying her as fast as she was hoping. And when she approached him on it, he just kind of brushed her off. So after some discussions with an attorney, it was advised that she just start showing up to the dental office since she still was a 50% owner because she was never paid off. And she did get involved in the data decisions like hiring, firing, all that sort of stuff. Let's just say after she started making these decisions, the surviving owner was quick to pay her off and become the sole owner.
What do you think could have been done to avoid this from happening?
The reality is there's just few people out there that really have enough assets to buy a business outright. Insurance is the most common way to help meet liquidity needs. There are policies that can even cover triggering events like disability. Other forms of planning can include stock purchases over time or planning from the cash flow of the business. A proper liquidity planning eases the burden on the buyer and helps provide peace of mind for the owner.
Well, now it's time for our real life case study, a hypothetical illustration based on real life examples. Names and circumstances have been changed to protect privacy, and we do have slides online at financialsense.com, which illustrate the points that are being made here today.
All right, so for this week's lifetime income case study, the topic is going to be passing along more than just a legacy. We're going to be focusing on the clients named Barry and Audrey Stamper. So let's talk a little bit about their background. Barry is age 65. He's been running a successful industrial company for over two decades, and the company's really been doing well in recent years, and he's had the luxury of being able to pass most of the daily operations at this point to some key employees. He is contemplating fully retiring in the next 1 to 2 years with the idea that those key employees will eventually be able to buy his business out and he'll be able to move on to full retirement. Audrey has been able to be a stay-at-home mom her whole life. She is very excited at the prospect of Barry retiring, as she does want to spend more time with him and focus on pursuing other passions with him. Aside from just the business, they do have some investments as well as some commercial real estate, which has been producing income for them as well. So given that they are looking to sell the business and to transition into retirement in the next 1 to 2 years, they did want to seek a professional's help for that, make sure that they're well positioned going into retirement. So some of the concerns that Barry had was really trying to develop a plan to make sure the business was passed off successfully. They were trying to retire as soon as possible and really maximize their income in retirement to be able to maintain the same lifestyle. For Audrey, she was concerned about their risk because a lot of their net worth is tied up in the commercial building and in the business itself. So she was looking to try and diversify some of those risks and really lower their overall risk that they're taking. She does want to protect their nest egg so that they can pass on a legacy to their children, and really looking at just trying to simplify their tax situation and estate plan. Looking at their investments, as Barry has been the decision maker on the investments, he does tend to take a more aggressive approach, as that has served him well throughout his entire career. Their overall portfolio risk score is moderately aggressive at a 72. Looking at their income objectives and being positioned for retirement, their risk score that they're looking for is going to be closer to about a 51, which would be a moderate type of portfolio. Looking at their current budget, they have a total income of $340,000 between the business and rental properties. Expenses are relatively modest compared to the income of $180,000 per year. It does give them a nice extra cash flow of about $157,000 per year. Looking at their total net worth, rental properties as well as the business equal over $11 million of their total net worth. They have investments totaling about $3 million. When we back out some mortgages that they have, about $280,000, they have a total net worth of about $13.8 million. So while it's definitely a lot of assets, the challenge that they face is a lot of those assets tend to be illiquid. Looking at the investment allocation itself a little bit more distinctly, they're heavily positioned in stocks with relatively low holdings in bonds and cash. Some challenges putting together the financial plan include trying to manage potential estate tax issues. We're currently at $13 million. They are not subject to estate taxes. However, that may not always be the case, as under the current tax law, we are to revert back to the old minimums of $5 million per individual index for inflation starting in 2026. Looking to try and just maximize the potential benefit of their assets, managing any liquidity concerns, as well as trying to preserve their wealth and pass it on to the next generation.
So starting with the retirement plan, looking at their income needs in retirement, they want to maintain the same lifestyle, so the expenses are still projected to be about $160,000 per year. To get there, they're currently receiving about $40,000 a year in rental income. Combined Social Security for them is projected to be about $45,000, and to make up the remainder would be updating the allocation of their current investment portfolio, which would be expected to produce about $93,000 a year in additional income. Given those multiple income sources, they would actually be able to produce a surplus of about $19,000 a year in retirement. Let's discuss the recommendations that were made as part of their financial plan. One thing that were recommended was trying to position the business and ready to be sold. So there's discussions there to help try and create a plan for liquidity event at retirement, both to help make it easier for the key employees to purchase the firm, as well as to help ensure that Barry and Audrey are paid and are able to move on into full retirement. Aside from that, we looked at trying to minimize their tax situation. This was done a couple ways. One was looking at their current investment portfolio and reallocating it into a more tax-efficient portfolio for them. The other thing that was done was trying to mitigate any potential estate tax issues, as that was a concern for them. The other thing that we've recommended was them do a second-to-die life insurance policy and place that inside an ILIT. That's an irrevocable life insurance trust. The goal of that trust would be create liquidity upon their death, so that it would be money that the estate can use to cover estate taxes or help cover costs or just give extra money to the heirs, worst-case scenario. Looking to try and meet their liquidity needs, they were getting a little tired of having multiple rental properties, and they didn't want to have to be landlords on all that, so there was a discussion to have them sell some of the real estate that was kind of more of a headache for them and reinvest that. And by doing so, that's going to help increase their liquidity, also help them still maintain the income they're looking for in retirement. With the asset allocation, we've talked about that already, but it was really just positioning the portfolio into a more tax-efficient manner, really focusing on bonds and dividend-paying stocks. By doing so, we were able to reduce the portfolio volatility as well. And then in terms of updating the estate plan, they did want to do some charitable contributions at death. And so we'd recommended those charitable contributions be made out of the IRA, as that money would go to the charities tax-free, and having the taxable assets instead go to their children, to their heirs. By doing that, those assets will receive the step-up in cost basis, so that will help transfer their assets in the most tax-efficient manner. These case studies can be found on our Financial Sense website, so please feel free to log in and check those out and follow along.
Well, thank you, Paul. On tomorrow's Lifetime Income show, we will have Mitzi Perdue. She's the daughter of the business titan who founded the Sheraton Hotel chain, and she's the widow of the poultry magnate, Frank Perdue. She'll be sharing some of the traditions that have been handed down for hundreds of years within her family, talking about family culture. And these are traditions that have kept her family together and kept the businesses strong. I think our listeners are going to enjoy hearing from Mitzi tomorrow.
And this is Paul Horn on behalf of Chris Prytower and myself. Just want to say thank you guys for listening to today's podcast, and enjoy the rest of your week.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.